Okay, we've got the thumbs up.
Start over again? All right. So the December 13th meeting of PFAC is called to order at 10:33 a.m. from my left. We'll do roll call.
Min Chai, present.
John Moore.
Wallace Rodecker.
Tom Hammond.
Eric Woolery.
Very good. Having a quorum, we'll move on to the minutes. Can I get a motion on the minutes, please?
I'll move to approve.
A second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'd like to comment. I think that I'd just like to comment. I realize that somebody in the county, probably the legal department, I don't know who, recommended that all minutes be as brief as possible. But I think we're doing a disservice here because the brevity of these things do not cover information about people's opinions, issues, and so on. And I believe these minutes, one of the purposes of our committee is to advise and inform the Board of Supervisors, and these minutes don't do that. I just like to make that comment and put it into the record, if you would, please.
And thank you through the chair, committee member Hammond. And I know we've had this discussion, and yes, the county does a standardization of minutes, and I believe we have condensed them down, but they are still, longer and more detailed than, for example, the Board of Supervisor that just records the actions. One thing I can say, and we can send a link to everyone on this county's website under the CEO, and we have a PFAC tab. We post agenda, minutes, and the audio, so the meeting can be just as the Board of Supervisor meeting. You can, an interested party can go back and listen to all of the meeting.
Is there a problem with keeping more complete notes?
The clerk of the Board of Supervisors has put out a standardization of minutes for all committees, and so we're following that protocol the best we can. And we're trying to balance a request for a little bit more detail with the requirement that the request that we're getting from our clerk of the board. And so we feel like by posting the audio so anyone can listen to the complete details of the meetings meets that spirit.
Well, I doubt that the Board of Supervisors, if they want more information, would go and listen to the tape of a BFAC meeting. But I'm just being critical of that idea. I understand your point.
Tom, do you feel that they've missed anything?
Yes, I do. I think because there's no discussion of the issues and the questions and that have come up on these particular items. And I think that's what the supervisors want from us, is the debate and what the problems are, potential problems are. Yes, I think they do miss a lot.
We'll just thinking when we provide an email with that link, we'll provide that to the board, make sure the board members and more importantly their staff, if they want to know more, they're going to ask their staff to investigate. So we'll make sure that everybody from the board and the board staff and the committee members has that link to be able to go back and find the audio and then the written minutes as well.
Is the clerk of the board trying to save paper or
I think that I've been through this issue before with other boards, and I think the issue is there's always this fear of litigation and litigious people reading the minutes and picking up on opinions and using them, and I think that's the premise of the whole thing. Am I right, Mr. Witt? Is that the theory?
Nikhil Duff, 3 County Council, Chairman Rodecker, and members of the committee. I don't want to speculate in regards to all the concerns for why the clerk of the board has taken that action. It was in consultation, most likely, with our office. I was not personally involved, so I couldn't say specifically. But in regards to it, there is a standardization. Ms. Luster is required to follow the standardization in regards to minutes. It's out of her hands. It's something which we can take under advisement. We can go and notify members of the staff regarding the committee's concerns. But other than that, she's following what has been requested by the clerk of the board.
By the board or by the clerk?
By the clerk of the board.
So we would like it noted in the minutes that we are concerned that they are missing some of the substance of our discussions and our dialogue. At least we want them to be aware that such things take place.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will do that.
Okay. Thank you. I'll call the question on the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. We will move on to item number two, the approval of the calendar for 2019. Can I get a motion on that?
Move to approve.
Second? Any discussion? Everybody's happy with the calendar? Okay, call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Item number three.
And if I could, and before we move on to the next one, and just for the committee's information, we do plan on having a meeting in January.
10th, right?
To bring an item forward for a potential refunding for John Wayne Airport bonds.
Mr. Chairman, do we know how many meetings we had last year? It seemed like more canceled meetings than actual meetings. And it's difficult when you're planning out your calendar and you say, oh, no, I can't go there. I have a meeting that I have to be at.
So this is the fifth meeting this year. And so, you know, we try our best as soon as we know we're not going to have an item to do the cancellation so, you know, folks can make other plans. But, you know,
it'd be easier to do it every other month, or do you want to leave it on a monthly basis?
Well, this gives us the most flexibility for items because, you know, as we discussed, Chair Rodecker, when there is a special meeting to be called, so when we had to cancel and schedule a special meeting because we couldn't achieve a quorum, and that just takes a couple more steps of having to, you know, ask you as the chair to call the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't a problem, and if we can get this room, I'll call them more often. Okay. All right, so, okay, is there any further discussion on that before we move on to the next item? Okay. So item number four, which is the a verbal report from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Suzanne Lester, CEO Public Finance. I put a piece of paper, it's a county press release on each of your, on your desk. I don't know, Sherry, if you're here. I just wanted to make sure that the committee was aware, if you weren't already, that the county recently closed its Chapter 9 bankruptcy case on November 8th. The bankruptcy court granted the county's motion to close the bankruptcy case. The county has paid off all of its bankruptcy recovery debt, has paid all its obligations, and been working for the past year with a bankruptcy counsel from Stradling, Yaka, Carlson, and Routh and county counsel's office to do due diligence to ensure that we were satisfied that the county had completed its obligations.
This is the bankruptcy from the Bob Citron era?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay.
So we just paid off the last bankruptcy recovery debt July 1, 2017. And then there was a class of claimants in the county's plan of adjustment, which was the bankruptcy workout document, the B13 claimants that were county-administered accounts, predominantly accounts within the county, but there were a few outside entities, around $2.5 million remaining that was paid February 2018. And so all the obligations are completed, and so we went to bankruptcy court to formally terminate the case.
Okay, very good.
Is there any impact on PFAC? I thought at one point there was some discussion of PFAC relating to the bankruptcy.
Through the chair, committee member Moore, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And then second on the press release, just letting you know, the committee members know, that the county's issuer default credit rating was recently upgraded by Fitch to AAA from AA+. And then the AA+ issuer rating was reaffirmed by both Moody's and Standard & Poor's. So that's, you know, that's big news for the county. You know, the county budget office and the board members have been working very hard to increase the county's reserve levels and follow not recommendations, but, you know, we've been working for the AAA rating, and we've gotten feedback from over the past couple years from credit rating agencies on what they would like to see in order for the county to achieve the AAA. And so we've incrementally got one of them. We're still working on the others.
Well, congratulations, but that was a 24-year process.
That's correct.
It's got to be a record. Okay, very good. Anything further on that?
That concludes my report.
All right. We'll move on to item number five, the short-term taxable pension obligations for 2019. Can I get a motion on that?
I need to recuse myself because I am a party to that. So I'm going to step over here in case there are any questions. I've got our attorney here, Ronnie Megsaisai, in case there's questions on a legal side either, because they're representing us separately. Thank you.
So noted. So I need a motion to discuss.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. Did you want to give us a speech on it or an opening on it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Lewis McClure of CEO Public Finance will provide the presentation.
Thank you, Suzanne. As you mentioned, item number five is to recommend to the Board of the Supervisors the fiscal year 2019-2020 pension obligations bonds in an amount not to exceed $430 million. As you may recall, our retirement system, OSERS, offers us a discount of 4.5% if the county prepays its fiscal year obligation in January of 2019 instead of beginning monthly in July of 2019. For the past few years, the county has issued short-term taxable pension obligation bonds to make this prepayment. You may recall also that on September 13th and the 25th, both PFAC and the board respectively approved the concept of doing the pension obligation bonds. And the estimated budget savings from performing these POBs is about $8 million. And I did want to mention that although the authorization is up to $430 million, we actually expect to only issue about $400 million because, as in the past, certain departments have funds to prepay on their own and not be included in the financing, which also saves the county more. The bonds are expected to pay an interest rate of around 3%, and there will be four equal maturities occurring beginning in July or August of 2019. And the last final maturity will be April 2020. As mentioned, it's expected that the bonds will be issued with the treasurer. And if recommended by PFAC, the board is expected to consider this item on December 18th. We're available for questions.
I have a few questions before I turn it over to my colleagues here. Number one, this is presumably the same short-term one that we've approved year after year, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Page two indicates that the gross savings is $19,300,000 and change, and that the projected costs of interest are about $11,200,000 and change, with a savings of approximately $8.1 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. I noted that from 2011 to 14, the net savings increased by about $5.7 million, but from 14 to present, it's decreased by $8 million. Was this expected at the time that it was approved?
I think it was because each time we've issued the bonds, the market conditions have been different. So, for instance, why I think the net discount or the net benefit to the county has shrunk this last time is because interest rates are going up. So when we borrow the funds, we have to pay more to access those funds in order to get that same discount that OSERS is offering. So the discount stays the same. We just have to pay a little bit more.
Okay. So our anticipated savings of $8 million and change has figured that in.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on that.
Yes.
The discount that's been offered, I know, came down substantially. Was it 2 years ago?
That sounds right.
Yes, yeah, it is.
It was. And do you have what it was last year?
It was also 4.5% last year.
And it's this year is going to be?
It's the same, 4.5%. Yeah. Okay. So it hasn't changed since last year.
Yeah, the discount has, but the interest has. Page 3 indicates that we're funding $400 million, and you touched on this, for a net of $399,920, which is presumably because of the $80,000 in costs.
Correct.
Okay. Aside from the $11 million in interest and the $80,000, are there any other costs that we would expect or should expect?
No.
Okay. Why are we requesting $430 million if we only need $412 million, including the interest?
Like I touched on, there's certain departments that intend to prepay on their own. In an abundance of caution, we ask for an authorization of a higher amount in case some of those departments that prepay on their own decide not to, or run into some kind of budget problems where they don't have the funds budgeted in the appropriate area to make that payment. So we just we ask for a slight bit more.
Is there a date they have to specify whether or not they're going to do it themselves?
They've already committed to us that they will, but I just, out of caution, we don't know, you know, until the deal actually happens, we don't want to cut ourselves short.
Okay, one more question, then I'll turn it over to my colleagues here. Page 15 out of 16 in the supplement is left blank. That refers to the costs. I'm just wondering, if we already know the costs, why is it blank?
Oh, that's we could have filled that in. We usually leave that blank until all the costs are known and we receive all the invoices, and then that actually in the end that goes to the trustee and they actually make those disbursements. So we just leave it blank until all the costs are
$80,000, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. Any questions from Tom, Min?
Tom usually has the questions.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Moore.
I appreciate that.
That was a compliment.
Thank you. I need him. Are the previous pension obligation bonds paid in full, or are they on target to be paid in full?
They're on target. They'll be paid by April 2019.
All right. So we're timely payments have been made.
As planned, yes.
Okay. referring to, Mr. McClure, your sheet here.
Sure.
I noticed that OSERS so far this year, from January to September, their performance year to date is 3.16, not 4.5, or 7.9 like it was last year. And the question is that we've had a deteriorating stock market since September, and I'm just wondering, are they going to break even this year, do you think? I know you can't. You're speculating, I understand.
Right. I think they're going to be either break even or possibly slight negative.
So what'll happen is that'll affect the amount of liability next year in terms of what we have to pay into the fund. Is that correct?
That's correct. The actuary will do their study and they take into account the assets on hand that have either shrunk or broke even or not met their actuary assumption rate.
Right.
And then that'll be added on.
Correct. So it'll be likely more expensive next year. Since they're paying us 4.5%, and they're probably going to break even. So next question is sort of unrelated to the financing that we're here today, but I'm looking at your schedule here of the prepayment amounts over the last 6 years, and my math tells me that our pension obligation has increased in 6 years 33%, or about 5% a year. Is that correct? I mean, is that generally correct? Oh, I assume it's correct. But, I mean, is that a cause for alarm in our pension obligation system? Mr. Woolery, I bet you have a comment about that.
No. We're still working on this year's CAFR, so I have to reserve my comments still.
If I might just, you know, add a comment, Mr. Chair and the committee. I mean, you know, it's a concern statewide. You know, I think the county and our retirement system have been very proactive in managing assumptions to make sure that the county is making its contributions to ensure a healthy system. Like, for example, bringing down, reducing the assumed rate of return based on the actuary recommendation and the actual experience from 7.75 then to, I think, 7.5 and now 7%, so that the rates that the system is charging and the amount that the plan sponsors are paying is appropriate to keep a healthy system, plus other actuarial assumptions moving to generational mortality tables, which occurred in the last rate study through the actuary and adopted by OSERS. And while that might cause a blip in the unfunded liability as this plan sponsors adjust to that, it tends to stabilize.
Well, I realize, Mr. McClure, this is, you're not in charge of this, but I mean, is there some, wasn't there some reform in our pension plan recently or the last couple of years? I mean,
That's a great point. So I think PEPRA, which I'm afraid the acronym escapes me, but new employees coming in, including safety employees, don't receive the same benefits, and that occurred in 2013. And so as the folks that are getting 2.7% per year at age 55 for every year of service, and the safety members that got 3% per year of service at age 50, as those folks retire or terminate service at the county, and the new employees that take their place, I think the safety is 2.5 at 57, and the general employees are 1.62 at 65, which is a significant reduction in benefit.
When did OSERS make this commitment for this discount to us? Before September, or was it? Are they going to renege on it?
July.
In July, and they thought they were probably on target for 7.9 return, and now they're down to 3 and probably going to 0.
So each year, OSERS considers if they want to, if they're going to allow the plan sponsors to prepay.
Yeah. But so they made a mistake in July by making this commitment because they're underwater on this deal. Well, they're not underwater because we'll pay next year and the following year.
Make
well,
it up and, on volume.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we look at prior years where the system has performed, you know, well over the assumed rate of return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
It's a long-term view.
I understand. All right, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Min?
Yes.
Your microphone's off.
The 4.5 discount, is that like determined it's just a set figure or is that like a negotiable rate?
OSERS approves that rate.
So we have no
unilaterally,
say.
Yes.
Take or leave it, isn't it?
Yeah, type of thing. Okay, and then you mentioned something about how the departments, the individual departments are allowed to, I guess, self-fund and prepay on their own. Why don't we encourage and incentivize other departments to do the same so that we don't have to incur the cost to finance? Are there any incentives in place currently that allow those individual departments to prepay on their own, or what are those departments and how are they able to do that, whereas other departments are not able to?
So we generally only ask the non-general fund departments to prepay on their own because we want to conserve the general fund dollars. And then we do incentivize them because they don't have to pick up the interest rate cost, so they do get an incentive there. So they get the full discount without having to be netted against the interest costs. And we already reach out to all of the non-general fund departments, and there's only a couple that don't participate, and it's either because their money is being tied up elsewhere or they, you know, that's pretty much it. I think there's literally two or three non-general fund departments that don't pay on their own. The airport, waste, all the departments that make money and have money on hand prepay on their own.
Mm. Do you know just approximately the number of departments that are prepaying on their own?
I think it's... Let's see, I have it right here, actually.
Yeah,
I read it too.
It's in the staff report.
11. It's actually, it's not truly 11 different departments, but there's 11 different funds within a certain amount of departments. There may only be like four or five departments because some departments have multiple funds or areas that they work in that they do it. But it's 11 different funds.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, did you have any questions?
No.
Anybody else before we move on? Can I get the motion amended to approve?
Amended?
Well, we made a motion to discuss, so can we amend?
Make a motion to amended to approve.
I'll second. Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. We'll move on to the public section of our meeting. I don't think it's actually on the agenda. Oh, it is. Any comments from the public? You have our usual mob today. Okay. Hearing none, we will close the meeting at... Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Committee comments. Yes. Please, Sherry.
Thank you, Chair Roediger. I had a question before the meeting on just where we are in property taxes, and so I thought I would give a brief update because, of course, last year at this time, the federal government was just making the changes in the tax law that limited the SALT deduction, which is the state and local taxes deduction, to $10,000. And so last year we had over $400 million come in, basically more than the prior year between December 15th and the end of the year due to those people paying their second installment early to take advantage of the unlimited tax deduction for 2017 federal taxes. As I had mentioned, the state does not conform to the federal tax law. So under the state law, you still have an unlimited SALT deduction, the state or the local tax deduction, your sales tax, but not federal. So at this point, essentially, we have about 3,600 more first installment bills that were paid than last year, and we have about $200 million more dollars that have been paid. So our first installment is running just a little bit ahead of where it is last year, but when you look at the percentage, it's really just above 95%. So on our second installment, we're really almost flat. We have about $5 million less that has been paid on the second installment this year than at the same time last year. Because of the holiday last week, we are experiencing a higher mail volume. We had authorized some overtime, but I know that we have been getting more mail in after the deadline than we had expected because a lot of people, it rained last week. We had those 2 days of heavy rain. Literally, the Civic Center, our cashiering was dead because no one wanted to go out in the rain and have to face the construction here. So we are seeing, so I expect that probably to be maybe a little bit above because we had been running ahead second installment payments, but certainly not nearly as much as last year. So at this point, we don't see a huge impact. We do expect some additional people because of the state deduction for individuals that still allows it, but certainly nothing like last year. So we are still on track, I think, to have a high collection rate, and those dollars will be apportioned next week out to the cities and school districts as part of the normal apportionment schedule set up by the auditor controller. So I'm available for any questions if you have them.
I have a question for you, if you happen to know. How does our delinquency rate look right now as compared to previous years? I'm going to assume it's better than ever, but you tell me.
Yes, thank you, Chair Roediger. We're very proud. I think we are in the top five as of the end of last year in the lowest delinquency rate. I think 2 years ago we were tied for the lowest delinquency rate, and so last year a few other counties snuck in ahead of us. I think one large county was able to get a slightly lower rate. So I do expect that, again, we have had a strong economy here. We've been using every tool we can to send out, you know, get people signed up for reminders by text and by email to pay. So we do see that our collection rate is expected to be very high again this year. We're just going to the board this next week on the 18th with our tax auction. We had, I think, 55 properties when we originally submitted. I think we're down to about 50 properties that still have not paid. They are delinquent for at least one tax year in 5 years old. But last year we canceled the tax auction because we only had two vacant pieces of property. So I expect that most of those, there are some very large, you know, $50,000, $60,000 for some commercial properties and others. They're probably just waiting to come up with the money. So I expect that, again, we should have probably a fairly small tax auction and possibly be able to cancel this year. But that is on the agenda for the 18th, and that is down slightly from the prior year. So thank you again for that question.
Chairman, I wanted to ask about, Tom, last year we made a change in the progression of the committee.
Seats.
Yeah, is that still in effect? Will change in January?
Right, in January, yes.
Our first meeting?
Right. So in January, we will, you'll become chairman, and then you'll become vice chair, right?
I guess so, okay. Yeah. And then we follow the sequence of,
right.
of the members.
The
I just want to make sure that.
Right.
So if committee members, if I might just make a comment, I was reviewing the new bylaws that were updated and just administratively, my thought was to agendize it and we'll kind of, we'll have an affirmation because there is exceptions if somebody doesn't want to be the vice chair, or if there's a vacancy and then an appointee who hasn't been there for a year. So the plan is to agendize it and then we'll...
I agree. It should still be on the agenda, but we've agreed in principle how the succession of chairs is going to be.
That's correct, and it is reflected in the updated bylaws.
Okay. Anything else from committee? Okay, very good. Then at 11:05, we will call the meeting adjourned. And if you would all indulge me, we have to get a picture of this because this is way too much fun. So,
I think
Laura,
the lady in the
you...
back took a picture. I don't know if she's.
Sherry, you got to come up. You got to come. Maybe we get a little closer together.
Yeah, there we go. Let's stand maybe.
I think so. We got the flag and the seal.
Yeah,
so let's see here. How do we do this?
The elected officials on the end and the key people in the middle.
Got it.
Good.
Thanks. Okay, well, this has been a fun year.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, gonna say
happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Good seeing you.
Tom, good to see you.
Take care, pal. Take care, John. Have a nice holiday. I did.
Because it's a long walk back.
Yeah, I know. I think she got the,
Hey, Laura.
I keep threatening to come over and add.
I know, and one of these days, by the way, I believe we did add your wife, right?
Well, she had the membership.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, it was you.
Well, you did.
We did, yeah, right after the last time you asked me to.
Oh, I didn't know. I haven't been over here.
Well, please do.
Yeah.
Come over. And off topic, and this is for you too, Tom. If you